We started in James chapter 1, verse 12, and that's really what the sermon's based upon that we started. And I also, though we didn't get through all the way through Acts when I was using that as an example, Acts verses 24 through 31 of Acts chapter 17. And so 31 through, yeah, so we went on through that 31 through, I guess, what was it? Whatever it was, we did it, okay? And I'd gotten down to verse 31 in our sermon this morning when it was time to cut out. So that is where we had left off. But I want to take up there again tonight. But you might want to have your finger in the book of James as well in chapter 1 because we'll be going back there to it. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray before we get into this message this evening, I pray that it be thy Holy Spirit that takes over. Lord, again, I ask you to be the authority, the might of thy word and thy person that speaks to my heart and to each heart tonight. Lord, prevent anything wrong coming from my lips, Lord. Protect my thoughts that they may only reflect the thoughts of Jesus Christ, of his word. In Christ's name I pray it. Amen. Okay, this morning as we were going along there, and we're looking at Acts chapter 17 to look at the things of actually it was looking at Jesus Christ and God, and you know, said that the men make images. They make their God. God's not, you can't make an image of God. You can't make an image of him. And he was talking about the problems there with people were worshiping images in God. And then he said he made us all. He was the creator. He made everything. And he made us of one blood. Therefore, as we told you this morning, whether black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever you are, you're of one blood. You're of one blood. And now, understand, that doesn't mean you're the same blood type. Okay, black folks have different blood types among themselves. White folks have different blood types among themselves. Asiatics have different blood types among themselves. So understand, it's not talking about blood types, but we're all of one blood. Why? Because the life is in the blood, the Bible tells us. So if the life is in the blood, then when God says it's all of one blood, isn't it interesting how far ahead of science he is? And they're still trying to figure it out. So We were looking at that and just getting into verse 31. So I will read there in Acts chapter 17, verse 31 to begin with. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Now, have you ever heard somebody say, well, if God would do that, he's not a good God. He's not. Look, God is a good God. He's all holy. He's all righteous. And so being who he is, somebody that says, I don't believe a good God would say that, then you don't believe in God. Now, you believe in a God of the world or some kind of a God that the world creates in your mind, but that's not the God of the Word, and that is not the God who created the heavens and the earth. It's not the God that's all holy and all righteous. Matter of fact, let me just take one verse out of James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, now is it good to do what God commands us? Amen. Yes, it's good to do what God commands. If God says something's good, is it good to do? Yes. So, if I stand up here and say, okay, you need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you need to be in Sunday school, you need to this, that, that. You say, well, I don't think you have to, you're doesn't mean you're a good Christian if you miss, or you're a bad Christian if you miss a Sunday school. It doesn't mean you're a bad Christian if you don't go on Sunday night or something like that. You can watch it at home and things of that nature. And good on. The Lord said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is. And by the way, that's the verse that became the help for me to keep this church open during COVID. Amen. And guess what? God protected the church. So understand, God did all of that, but we need to understand that him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If the Bible says something is wrong, it is wrong. Well, people have the idea of, well, that's not so bad. To say it's not so bad is to say, well, it is a little bit bad, but really, So God doesn't mind if it's a little bit bad. Come on. I hate to be Joe, somebody that you know. And it's not Carpenter. but he claims to be our president, but nonetheless, he's always saying, come on, man. Okay, well, come on, man. Get right with God. If you name the name of Christ, you call yourself a Christian, and you say, well, you know, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. And yet there are things in the Bible tells us to do this and do that. You're my witnesses. Well, God just hasn't given me that gift. Being a witness is not a gift. It's something we're commanded to do. Okay? And so, look, I've heard a lot of those things over the years, and instead of getting angry at them, I just pray for them, because I know that they are going to have lots of reward in heaven. And so just some of the things that we hit about standards and things of that nature, I just understand. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, guess what it is to them? Sin. Sin before God. And I think that the problem with that is that a lot of Christians just don't believe it. I'm not questioning, are they saved? They probably received Christ as their Lord and Savior. But get that point that their flesh gets in a Christian life. And their flesh desires that. Their flesh wants to do this. And so, what happens? The flesh has the victory. Well, I don't think of that as the flesh. What do you think is the flesh? Well, I think if you get really drunk, if you're watching pornography, then that's the flesh. Really? So, commands of God that you don't want to carry out or is not of the flesh? So, again, him that knoweth to do good is witnessing good. Is being faithful to God's house good? Is it living a life that is separated from this world? Good. So what I'm trying to say is that him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, guys, I believe that's the him and her, but isn't it interesting? The Bible says him. I guess if you're the head of the home, you're supposed to also be responsible for leading the home in paths of righteousness. So if you're leading the home in paths of righteousness, you keep your home from those things that say, well, it's not so bad. Well, if it's sin, it is terrible. You know, I have yet to find in the Bible where it says, this sin is not so bad. Go ahead. It's just not there. Now, maybe they have new versions out that do that. I don't know. But to be quite honest with you, the Bible is the Word of God, and it's preserved for us in the King James Bible. And so we've already had two or three times this week where there's been discussions about the King James with just people that were looking at us and talking about coming here and things of that nature. So I just want you to understand that him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, over the years I've seen pastors quit. I've seen preachers quit. I've seen missionaries quit. I've seen Sunday school teachers quit. I've seen choir members quit. I've seen so many quit. And it goes back to our title. Now's not the time to quit. Now is not the time to quit. God called you to do that? You know, I sing in choir because God wanted me to be a choir member. Then later, they're not in choir. I'm teaching Sunday school because God wanted me to teach Sunday school. Later, they're not teaching Sunday school. Well, God, hey, I'm working on the bus route because God wanted me to work on the bus route. Now they're not working on the bus route. Well, what was the scriptures? God told you to quit singing in the choir, told you to quit teaching Sunday school, quit witnessing. What is scriptures that God take? You said, well, it's not that. I just didn't feel like I should do that anymore. I just didn't feel like doing it anymore. Well, man, get right with God. You felt like that's what God wants you to do. When did God tell you to stop doing it? Let God lead you. Let God direct you. Now, I've watched great men of God that reached an age where they just couldn't go anymore. They stepped down, but several of those men say that was the hardest thing to do in the world for them, to step away from what they were called to do. But God showed them it was time. So what I'm trying to say to you is this, is don't quit over the circumstances. They're going to come. And if you're being one of those that are being used of the Lord and it's having an impact, Satan is going to attack you from every side that he can. It's not a time to quit. And so, as we were looking at this morning, and he said there is one back there again in verse 31 says, which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereas he hath given assurance to all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, as a Christian, you've got to answer this question. You say you're saved. Do you really believe, do you actually believe that Jesus Christ was dead 3 days in a tomb and that he literally rose from the dead? If you believe that, then my friend, again, he's telling us here, that's our assurance. That's our assurance here. So again, he's raised him from the dead and he is the example. Your example is not a preacher. No, it's not a preacher at all, especially this one. It's not another Christian. Our example is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, nobody in here is supposed to be Andy-like. They're supposed to be Christ-like. If you're going to be Andy-like, you're headed for a big fall. But if you're going to be Christ-like, you're headed to victory. Okay? And so, we need to be Christ-like, Christian. We need to be godly, God-like. Oh, not saying that I am deity. No, it's looking at his holiness and righteousness and walking and living in your life accordingly. Now, I want you to think on these thoughts. These thoughts of a decaying country. Because it's affecting churches today. It's affecting parents. You know, sometimes we'll have children get in trouble in the school. Sometimes it happens at police stations. But parents will come in and they'll say, with their nose turned up in the sky, you know, like a guy that stands here like, I'm something. And say, I'm standing up for my children. You're standing up, you know, well, ball games, I stand up for our, well, now it's grandchildren, pretty soon it's great-grandchildren playing baseball or something. When they do well, you know, yeah, we're standing up for them. We're clapping for them. But if they do wrong, I'm not going to stand up for them. If I'm standing up, I'm yelling at them, not for them. Okay, so again, claiming to stand up for your children. And you come into the school, they go into the police station and things of that nature. They think they're standing for their child, but all they're doing is sending their child on the road of spiritual failure if that child is saved. And you see, the truth is, they are removing, when they do that, accountability from their child's life. Accountability before God. They're taking God out of their thoughts in order to satisfy the whims and the desires of the children. Lessons are needed to teach them, making good men and good women instead of making them leeches on society with an entitlement mindset. You know, I can understand buying your child a flip phone. Well, my children can't understand it. As they get older, they'll understand it. A flip phone. You say, well, why a flip phone? Oh, you mean you cannot call them on a flip phone? Well, yes, but that's not what our children want. Okay, just go ahead and let them have the smartphone and look at all the pornography they want to look at. Look at TikTok and everything else that's filthy and wrong and sending people to hell. causing death all across this country. Just really, you know, is that what you want for your child? You want to put that in front of your child. You want your child to learn about pornography, not from you, but from a smartphone. Now, I know there's teenagers in here and they're not going to like that. But one day you'll stand before God and you'll be glad that somebody said something. Oh, if you've got parents that say flip phone only, praise God for that parent that you have. Praise God for it. And so they say, well, my children wouldn't do that. I know my children. They wouldn't do that. Do you know how many times that we've heard that? You know, one of the most fun things for us has been now over the last couple of years. This school has hundreds of cameras. I mean, they're everywhere. And we've had parents come in, my child, I know my son, I know my daughter. They wouldn't do that. Then you show them a video. I'm going to kill them when I get home. You know, but until they are actually seen, shown the evidence, they won't bring. Now, there are some that will say, well, that's an invasion of their privacy. Not in our school, it isn't. Now, if I put those cameras in your home, it might be. But in our school, it's not. In my home, it's not. Okay. So again, don't try to justify sin in any of your children's lives. Because it's not teaching them anything. And it's not teaching them that you love them. It's teaching them when they get older to realize that their parents turned them over to the devil. And that is so wrong. So get that entitlement mindset out. There is a rising tide of Marxism in this country. And by the way, Marxism says that your children aren't yours. They belong to the state. The state should determine how you can or cannot raise your children, especially as it deals with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Marxism flaunts itself in America. Their disciples have a controlling power in business, in education, in media, in sports, in government. And we also see, along with that, a moral decadence of sexual perversion, marriage corruption with broken vows, same-sex marriage, which in God's sight is not a marriage at all. That's only in Satan's sight, and that will not save your soul. Then we have also cold-blooded murder by abortion, as well as turning loose, whether it's an illegal or somebody else, people that are giving these drugs to your kids, and it's killing your children. It's messing up them for the rest of their lives. There's that murder by abortion. And then we see, coming right behind that, now folks, my age group especially need to get a hold of this. Abortion is not the only thing. One of the things that there are states that are working on, and that is euthanasia. Well, you get to decide that yourself. Uh-huh. Wait till they say, well, his mind's not really good, her mind's not really good anymore, let's just go ahead. And the state okays it. In short, this generation believes it is owed a living. But guess what God says? If a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. That's in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, if you have a problem with that, you have a problem with God. You realize Adam and Eve, the first people. Adam, he was created, and his first job, God just didn't let him stand around and do nothing. His first job was to tend the garden. That was his call. That was his ministry. He then made Eve out of his rib. Guess what? She is called a helpmeet. What does helpmeet mean? It means to help meet the goal. That's what it means. God created Eve to help Adam meet the goal of God's call to tend the garden. And they would have children. And they should be raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Unfortunately, before they had children, they sinned. And it just got worse and worse and worse since that day. My dad, he supported a poverty program. He really did. It was called work. A lot of people go to work and work. They got money and they were able to eat. It's a good program to have. This is not, you're a good Christian if you're a Republican, you're a bad Christian if you're a Democrat. It's not that. So I'm going to say something that some of you say, oh, you shouldn't say that. But we had a president named Clinton, and he had a program in which he said, instead of just plain out welfare, we should set up jobs so people can get the welfare, but they earn it. And so that they don't have the embarrassment of just giving it to them, they actually earn. Some of them may have just taken tickets at a entry to a building. Some of them may have just sat there and wrote names down. But whatever they did, it was the idea is that they would work, they would earn their pay. For some reason or other, there's some people that got upset with that and they stopped it. No, a person shouldn't have to work for their living. A person shouldn't have to work to eat. There ought to be people that just give it to them. And so they expect money without work is evidence of a lack of character. Then there's pornography. Scientific gender descriptions that are unscientific. They say, well, our psychologists say that it's true. Uh-huh. You know how many psychologists are marriage counselors? And they've been married about 10 times? And so, don't give me that about it's scientific. It's not scientific. God made them male and female, and that hasn't changed. And then there's a failing education system today that's empty of God. It's filled with critical thinking. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I've hit the subject of critical thinking on several occasions. And I've gotten letters on it. Well, so-and-so doesn't say that. So-and-so in this Christian college said this. So-and-so in that Christian college said. But you know what? Critical thinking doesn't like me saying anything critical about critical thinking. Now, if they believe in critical thinking, why can't I think critically of critical thinking? Hey, truth is truth. It doesn't need critical thinking. Truth needs to be taught. And so, critical thinking is all right except against them if it reveals what they are. And oh yeah, people can write articles why we should do it. Oh, it sounds so intellectual. Not scriptural, but intellectual. And see, that becomes a problem with some Christians. They put intellect above the Word of God. They put intellect above the spiritual. They put intellect above all of that. Listen, hell is going to be filled with intellectuals. Now, I'm not against learning and getting education. I'm not against that. But when education and learning attacks God, it is filthy, it is wrong. Don't ever send your child to a college that doesn't stand up for what is right. And if they're going to teach against your country, if they're going to teach against God, they're going to teach against the Word of God, they're going to teach against creationism, then don't send your kids there. Don't use your hard work and money to send them to a place that's going to help your great-grandchildren to be in hell. It's wrong. The problem is that too many churches and Christians and institutions are trying to adapt to be compatible with the world. But every time, I mean every time, mark this down, every time they try to do that, they are either removing or compromising the righteousness and holiness of God. And they do it in their churches, in their Christian schools, standards of righteousness and service. Do you remember when Christian schools got started? I remember that. My dad pastored in Bradenton, Florida before coming up here. And a lot of people don't know this, but he was so concerned about the way education was going. They was turning around, turning the standards and everything there in the last couple years that he was there, and he wanted to do something about it. They took prayer out of the school, took Bible out of the schools, and anything saying good about God was taken out of the school. And so he wanted to do something about it. He went out and saw a man. Excellent piece of property. I know that. It's an excellent piece of property. It would have been a great place for a Christian school. And so he went to his board of deacons and said, hey, we need to do this, all that, and this is what's going on in this state, this is what's going on in this country, and we need to do something, take a stand. Let's do that. No, we don't want to do that. So guess what? He said, all right, that's fine. He says, I'm no longer your pastor. He left. That's when he came here. So what I'm saying is that you can take and say, well, I just disagree with that, whatever. I just don't like it at all. But people that remember when we prayed in school, when we had the Bible read in school, I even remember in elementary school, public elementary school, we had preachers come by and spoke to us, preached to us. I can remember that. And so all of a sudden, they wanted the Bible out. They wanted prayer out. And guess what else they removed? Dress standards. I remember, now this is public high school. This is back in 65, 66, 67, somewhere. I graduated in 67. But graduating then, we had a girl that had a skirt that went right there to the top of her knee. Guess what they did? They sent her home. They sent her home. Told parents, make this girl dress right. Now you think about that. They had a standard in public school. A standard of morals. I'm not saying they were Christians, but I am saying they had standards that were right. All nations that forget God, guess what happens to them according to the Word of God? They'll be judged by God. So, you had these Christian schools, all of a sudden they're wanting to have them because the Bible is out. And because now they don't want parental involvement of saying, you shouldn't have that book. I do remember that as well in my school, in my public high school. They brought in a book called The New Earth, and a teacher made them, all for students, read it. But what they didn't count on was a few Christian parents that got upset. Guess what? That book was nowhere to be found around that school after that because some parents stood up. You see, with the new stuff going on today, parental respect is gone. Respect and love for God is gone. Respect for love of country is gone. We have made items of mockery and scorn by the world And we are made that even by churches that have turned on righteousness and true holiness. Things that their denominations or whatever else used to stand toward too, now they don't stand to those things any longer because they want to be accepted by the world. They want to be like the world. They want to be adaptable to the world. And children, they want their children to be loved by the world, but keep them away from the God's house and church. The culture and dress and the standards, not only do we see a spoiled generation bringing decay and irresponsibility to society, a society of ethics and morals where they're lost, and the rightful place of God. I remember, I think it was the Democratic National Convention back several years ago during the presidential election. I don't remember which presidential election it was. But somebody wanted to say something about God in it that was good. And they had a big group of them that turned it down. And actually, there was more there that was against, that was for this thing that would take God out of it. But some of those that were, said, if we take that out, we've lost everything. They weren't talking about religion. They were talking about their position in government. They'd lose the election. You see, we're wondering today, what is the rightful place of God in the lives of Christians? Is he still in the highest esteem of our lives that we will not compromise the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the standards of God's word? We won't compromise that at all for this world, for our acceptance in this world, to be loved by this world. We will stay true to it. It's not time to quit on God. It's not time to quit standing up for Jesus. Well, you don't know what that's going to cost. You don't know what kind of problems that's going to cause. I do know what kind of problems it's going to cause for you in eternity. You're saved, but you'll have loss of reward, and you're going to be ashamed at his appearing, and the tears will be shed, and you'll be revealed for being a failure, a big zero, a big failure at the judgment seat of Christ, saved so as by fire. So the question is, do we quit? Do we quit on our country? Do we quit on our church? In other words, do we quit on God and surrender all that is good and moral in order to avoid having to pay the price to stand? Now let's look at James 4:17 again. Therefore, him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And you might say, I don't feel that way. It's not built on your feelings. It's built on God's word. You know to do good, and you won't do it. It's sin. Well, preacher, you're going to chase people away with that kind of preaching. If they don't want God, and God's going to be preached here, and his word's going to be preached here, they don't need to be here. I want them here. I want them to get their lives right with God. But if they have problems with that, then they're going to have to go down to the church of what's happening now. Because this, God's word, God's righteousness, God's holiness goes against their grain. They're not right with God. They may not even be saved. They may have religion, but religion isn't salvation. Jesus Christ is our salvation. You say, well, we believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. We believe that. Yes, the devils believe it and tremble. We also find out that in the Word of God. The devils believe and tremble. Not enduring temptation, not enduring testings, not enduring trials, and rejecting being right with God. The real test goes right back here to our text in James chapter 1 and verse 12. And in James chapter 1, verse 12, we see it so clearly. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. You endure those trials. You endure those mockings. You endure those people that stand against you. You're going to stand. You know why I've seen so many young preachers quit? They couldn't endure when they took a right stand. The heroes in heaven will not be the quitters. The heroes in heaven were those that said, God called me, and I'm not quitting. Can you say that of your life? Maybe God's called you to something, and you've walked away from it. Hey, you're still breathing. You're still alive. Why not come back to His call? I may lose my job if I go back to my call. Is your job worth more than being right with God? Is your job worth more than being shamed before all heaven in eternity? Is your job worth loss of all of that? And maybe the future of your great-grandchildren in hell, is your job worth that? It's time to wake up to the call of God on your life personally. And again, we quoted from Ephesians 2:10 this morning, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before you were even born, God had a will for your life, which hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And perhaps tonight is the night to walk this out and to say, I've been called of God to do this. I'm going back to that call. Or maybe you say, God has called me and I have not answered, but I'm going to answer that call tonight. And I'm here to make that public and let people know I'm standing for God. If that's the choice, then make that stand tonight. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, in a moment, we're going to have this invitation. I am resolved. Give that resolve, Lord, perhaps to some that have left the call of God in their life. Give that resolve to some that you're calling and they have fought it. Give your resolve in the hearts of people that their heart will be, it's not a time to quit and I won't quit until Jesus comes. Lord, may that be the resolve of every one of us here in this auditorium. Every member of Central Baptist Church, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.